shows on KCNR are those of the views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down. Good morning and welcome. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I am Henry Cuenca sitting in today. I welcome you to my show about passion and inspiration. The focus of my show is seeking those who hold and live passionate, convincing lives. These guests have demonstrated that they live for a cause and hold a steadfast, compelling sense of purpose. In many cases, purposes are driven quietly, subtly, and unseen, but yet cause significant impact to others and society as a whole. This is what my show is all about. My first guest today, I would like to refer to as Miss Inspiration. She's a local woman graduating from Shasta High. She went on to Linfield College in McMinnville, Oregon, where she recently graduated. And as if that isn't enough so quickly, she's headed to Africa to immerse herself in humanitarian outreach work. Lacey Dean, welcome to today's show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show, Lacey. Lacey, what is your degree in?
I have a BA in sociology, Bachelor of Arts in sociology, and a minor in Francophone African Studies.
Okay, that sounds pretty comprehensive, pretty motivating.
Yes, the Francophone African Studies is essentially a French minor combined with an African Studies minor.
I see. So, and I know you speak a couple of different languages, right?
Yes, English, obviously, and then French, and then I speak a little bit of Wolof. It's one of the nine.
That's my favorite language. So you picked Linfield College, and a lot of us haven't heard of Linfield College, but could you tell us a little bit about that unique school?
Yes, it's in kind of in northern Oregon around the Portland area, and it is a small private liberal arts college.
Mm-hmm.
Various ranging of degrees, a lot of community outreach. They have education programs, nursing programs, and then, a lot of the focus is on community and student interaction, a lot of community service out of there. They have great sports teams.
Terrific. Yeah. Well, I see that they have a significant commitment to social responsibilities.
Yes.
So, and you were, you went to school for how long?
4 years.
4 years. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal background, you know, family history, brothers and sisters, and things like that?
I grew up in Southern Oregon until I was around 14, and then I moved to here to Redding, California.
You like heat.
Yes, I do. Actually, I really do. I grew up with my mother and father and my sister, who is almost 4 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved up here or down here to Redding with my mother, and I finished high school here. So I went sophomore through senior year here at Shasta High School.
And you graduated from Shasta High in
yes.
What year?
2007.
2007. So you're still a young lady.
Yes.
And you have a sister, and you have a brother.
Yes, and I have a baby brother. So my sister is 25 and living up north where I am, and then I have a two-year-old baby brother.
And your sister is a teacher, right?
Yes, right? She is teaching around third grade right now. She's mm-hmm. elementary ed.
I see.
Wonderful teacher.
And your mother is a local working woman who has a master's degree in counseling. Is that correct?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so she is a counselor at one of the schools here in Reading.
You studied in Dakar and Senegal, Africa. Tell us about those initial experiences.
It was one of the first programs to Senegal, which is in West Africa. And we studied in the capital in Dakar, and it's a large city. And so we went there, and we did some community outreach, and then we also did a lot of language courses and cultural courses. And mm-hmm. so it was just kind of that first step for Linfield to reach out. And, it was a group of five students.
And you're headed back to Africa. Lacey, your parents have to be very, very proud of you. With so many in life holding entitlement beliefs and practices, you are making a difference and contributing so much to the world. And we're going to take our first break right here, and we're really waiting to hear more about your compelling stories, Lacey. Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Hello, Melinda Brown here for People of Progress with a great way to help yourself while you help your community. It's simple. Buy just one shirt or a book or even a knickknack from People of Progress's Super Thrift Shop. This instantly makes five important things happen. You'll pick up great stuff at great prices. You'll help People of Progress's food bank and resource center stay open so we can serve 16,000 people this year with 240,000 meals, clothing, blankets, and community gardens. And you'll reuse and repurpose items, which saves energy, natural resources, and space in the landfill. So check us out in person at the Pop Thrift Shop in downtown Reading and bring a friend to help you choose from literally thousands of high quality items. All proceeds stay local to help your local community. So shop Pop. We're open Monday through Saturday in downtown Reading. Our motto is do what you can with what you have where you are. With this community's help, we've served homeless and hungry people in Shasta County for 40 years. With your help, we can continue to do so. Buy a shirt, shop Pop.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and I'm interviewing Lacey Dean. And I may have glossed over the wolf language, and I'm sure that most of us have probably never heard of it, but correct my pronunciation and tell us about the language.
So the language is called Wolof.
Wolof.
And it is one of the nine different local languages in Senegal. So their national language is French. So that's what education programs and like official business and interaction, international interaction, that is what they speak. But then locally or among the families and the homes and in different regions, there's nine different languages. And so one of the most prominent languages in the capital, in Dakar, is Wolof. And so I took a four-month kind of intensive language course, mm-hmm. and
so you're conversant with it, then?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
You would never go hungry.
No, I would never go hungry, and I could find my way around. It's more so I know commands and questions, and yeah, I can converse a little bit.
Good for you. Lacey, as a child, what did you think that you wanted to be when you grew up?
Oh, well, I never really had something specific that I wanted to be. I thought maybe a doctor, but I feel like that's a very common career path or career choice for children to say, a doctor or a fireman. But I had always said that I wanted to go to Africa, but I didn't really understand the concept of that until I was older. So I think I also saw the shock in my family's face. And so knowing that as a child, you know, I want to go to Africa, and people look at you like, well, why would you want to do that? Or why do you want to do that? And so that was just something that continually became a theme, and I would always say that. And
do you know what planted the seed for that intrigue or interest?
No, I really don't. The only initial exposure to Africa as you're a little kid is like Disney movies, Lion King, but that's not a very accurate description of Africa. So no, I don't really know how that stemmed, but it was influenced by just education and school projects and then teachers and professors who had experiences there.
Lacey, I know that your family, you had a very engaged family life, and that very interactive with mm-hmm. both your parents, and there was lessons that were learned by each of your parents. And what are some of the most memorable experiences that your both your mother and father imparted in you?
Well, I'm not so sure I would call it, like, maybe experiences. It's more so that consistency I had with my parents. Both of them were really supportive and really into family and taking care of one another and supporting what either you're interested in or what you like, or just kind of that conversation and being together. And so having my mom drop me off at school every day and say, be kind to others, or having her take me to school every day and knowing that my dad woke up in the morning and made our lunches and then came home from work and played outside with us, or knowing that I can talk to my parents about everything and educating me and then helping me with practical daily life, issues. I think it was just that consistent speaking with one another, supporting one another, and showing what friends and family are really supposed to provide.
Mm-hmm. So that really set a foundation for core values, it sounds like. When your mother dropped you off at school after giving you a kiss and saying, be kind to others, did you ever think of what that really meant?
I think as a little kid, you just kind of start to hear that and you hear it more and more. But I think as your parents kind of enforce that and make sure, you have good manners and you use appropriate language with people. And I don't know. I think that was something that eventually you start to think about and you notice other kids not doing that. So I think, yeah, I did when in elementary and middle school notice that, wow, that wasn't very nice, because that was like the language that we'd use in the family. But that's what I would reference.
How interesting. Does your mother still tell you, drop that to you? Be kind to others?
No, not exactly. We talk about how to treat one another, but I don't think she... we don't really have a lot of opportunity for her to drop me off anywhere anymore and kiss me on the cheek and say be kind to others. But.
You refer to your father as your coach. What did you really mean by that?
Well, my father was very active in everything that... I was involved with. So when it came to sports, he was always my coach, either within the actual games and the programs or at home, and he was someone who would help. But even like a life coach in the sense that, I know how to change my tires or change my oil because my dad would help me do it, and I would like lay on the ground when I was five underneath the car with him and watch him work. And, just little things like that, I would say that he's been very consistent in kind of helping me along.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, he's been a pivotal role in my life because he's just always there, and he's kind of helping coach me along, but then also letting me take off on my own, so that's nice.
Good for you. Do you do tune-ups?
No, I'm not quite there yet.
Your father was also reminded you folks, you or your family, to focus on the positive side of things. And that, no doubt, had a significant bearing in the little time that I've spent with you. You seem to be very, very positive, and you always look for the positive side of people and things. So undoubtedly, that's had a big effect on your growing years.
Yeah, I would definitely say that both my parents were very. They talked about. Using what you have in front of you to take a step forward. And so working really hard, my dad showed the work ethic a lot, and my mom really pushed for striving toward like that, to find that positive energy where you're really headed towards.
In Shasta High School, you participated in student government, and that was a pivotal experience for you, serving on student body government. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I think that was kind of where I started to understand that if I put forth energy and I communicate with people and I had an idea, that perhaps I could put something together and I could benefit others. I think it was really influential, even doing something, I think we did Christmas baskets, but we had like the names of the family and their children and the age of everyone, and so we had kind of like a profile of the family that we were helping. So as we went out, we'd get stipends and we'd go out and we'd buy items for them, and then we'd put them together and give them to the families. I think just kind of starting out with ideas like that, or knowing that direct impact in your local community, and even though we didn't have contact with the families, it was something that was just really nice to begin with.
So that giving, supporting the less fortunate, really started right here in high school, in working with homeless and giving toothbrushes and food baskets and the like. You also played tennis, right?
Yes, I did.
And played violin, and you sang choir.
Yes.
You mentioned that you played tennis competitively.
I did. I do not anymore. I did in high school, and then I didn't play after that. But just for fun.
Do you still play the violin?
Yeah, I do. Sometimes it goes a while before when I pick it up and play, but I would say that it's still something that's important in my life.
And you sing?
Sure.
Good for you. You said what was your first job?
My first job was here in Reading. I worked at a plant nursery just for the summer. It was like a summer job, and so you wake up at 5 a.m. and you get to work, and you're off for like 2 or 3. And it was kind of hard work, but it was great. And then I worked at like a restaurant for 3 years throughout high school and then all my breaks of college. And so those were good, steady jobs to get me started and understand.
And getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning for a high schooler is, is quite a chore in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a little rough sometimes during the summer, but... it ended up being all right.
So we're going to take a break right now, Lacey, and we'll be back. And this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Rayleigh's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Welcome back. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I am Henry Cuenca sitting in today, and I'm interviewing Lacey Dean. Lacey, I know that you have a mission statement, and it's kind of personal mission statement, and I'm not really good at reading this, but I'm going to give it a shot, and you call it France Fanon. What does that mean?
Well, he is a theorist, an African theorist, and he had some pretty radical theories, but he has really interesting concepts he kind of introduced to the world. And I was reading through some of his literature because a really influential professor had given me a few of his books, and there's a quote from him that says, "Within this world through which I travel, I am endlessly creating myself." And so I think that's just something like a reference that I have used because I thought it was, I just thought it was a really neat way to express.
Do you ponder this frequently?
Yeah, I would think so. I think it's important for people to look to the future, see what is next, and see how they fit within their own lives and within their experiences, and see how you create yourself, and just kind of what opportunities are there and how we expand ourselves, how you broaden your horizons. And I think this is a good quote to exemplify that.
You're headed back to Africa here shortly.
Yes.
Tell us about this trip, how long you're going to be there, and what you're actually going to be doing.
Well, I'm going in the beginning of September, and I'm going to Dakar, Senegal, so that's the capital of Senegal, and I have a part-time teaching job at a bilingual school, and it's a private school, and they have bilingual programs, and I applied, and I had met with someone while I was there studying abroad, and they liked me, so I've been Skyping with them and emailing them, and they hired me for part-time and said, when I get there, I'm going to go check in. And so basically, The goal is to go there and teach in English for a while reaching out to a couple nonprofit organizations there. Mm-hmm. There's a really incredible organization. There's an orphanage there that I worked with, and I want to try to get in there. And then there's also a few other nonprofits I'm looking into. And I want to do anything. I have some experience with some grant writing or like project development, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to offer any of the experience and skills that I have to see if I can get into those programs and understand how they work and help provide a service to the people.
Lacey, what are you really passionate about?
I think it's just really important to serve others, whether or not it's through communication or creating a relationship with someone or giving someone food or traveling abroad and interacting with someone. I think it's just kind of our duty, our human responsibility to reach out to others and to share our knowledge with other people or to take in other people's knowledge. I think that growing up in America, we're a very independent culture, and I think sometimes we lack that interdependency. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is something that I strive to do, is to show others that I care or that I am interested, and hope to sometimes receive that back.
Well, I think you've inspired all of us here in this sound room, and I'm going to read a quote that I read from somebody.
All right.
And I'd like your comments on it. Okay? This is a quote, and it says, "As a sociology student, my goal is to understand human beings, to know what we do, where our suffering and happiness comes from. Kindness is needed everywhere." Now, you may recognize this, but
yes.
Tell us, what would you think about the person that made this quote?
Well, that's slightly difficult considering I wrote that.
Yeah, this is Lacey's quote, and it's just profound, and it's very touching.
Thank you. I think that just kind of explains my intentions. I think that shows the intentions of not belittling anyone, but genuinely being interested and just trying to understand. And I think that kind of fits along with the creating myself, is that I can't move forward and I can't understand myself and my place in life if I'm not understanding like my surroundings, and I can't understand others as well if I can't understand myself. So I think that just kind of all ties in. And that's really
very, very well said.
Thank you.
I know that you've had some influence folks that back in college, up in college, that have been made major influences on you. And I know Mrs. Carr is a mentor, mm-hmm. and inspirational to you. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the influence that she's had on you.
Oh, well, Mrs. Carr was my AP English teacher in high school here at Shasta.
Sorry.
And she had traveled to a few countries in Africa and just kind of talked about her experiences, and she had went to Berkeley, and that was always kind of dream of mine. So she had kind of had those little, kind of in the back of my mind, this is a woman who has done, who's taken great steps and is what I'm interested in. So just recently I kind of tried to connect back with her, and mm-hmm. so that has been really nice to have someone like that in my life. And then there's just at Linfield, I've created some really great relationships with professors. I would say Jeff Peterson and Rob Gardner have been really influential. Jeff Peterson's my advisor, and I work for him at a center where they do a lot of community outreach. And then Rob Gardner, he has also been really influential in that service learning aspect of applying what you do in the course and in academia, and applying that to where you're living or your life in general. And then Delaine Hines, also a beautiful woman. She works at Linfield College, and she helps with the Residence Life program. And she is a worldly woman, very well traveled, and just a woman who has a peace of mind and who has an energy about her that could make you feel calm and empowered at the same time. I've never experienced anyone quite like her. So, but I would say that, you know, people have asked me who is like that one person who is really influential to you, mm-hmm. or, you know, who is your mentor? And I would just say that I've been very fortunate. I've been blessed to be surrounded by so many great people, and I've never really can pick one person, because I think if you're in my life, you play a role in my life. And when I interact with you and I speak with you and I share those moments with you, that is you know, that is very important. And so all of that is, I mean, all that is kind of molding me and molding my experiences. And so I really do genuinely appreciate those interactions with everyone. And so I've just been fortunate to have so many powerful, you know, friends and family and mentors in my life that it's hard for me to say just one person, but mm-hmm. they're really just...
Well, Lacey, you are certainly an inspirational young lady, and I think that everyone in Shasta County should be very, very proud of the fact that you're from Redding, and that we certainly wish you enormous success in the future. You've got a lot of things going for you, and you're giving up the BMW and the surfboards and the beach, but you're going to be doing a lot more serious work, making an effect, a tremendous impact on people that you're going to be meeting throughout your life. And I thank you for being a guest on our show, and we look forward to having forward future contact with you.
Thank you.
And this is the end of our show. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you're the surviving spouse of a war-era veteran, you may be eligible for a pension from the Department of Veterans Affairs. This is sometimes known as the widow's pension. The benefit is designed to provide assistance for a surviving spouse with limited income and significant out-of-pocket, unreimbursed medical expenses. There are many individuals, businesses, and organizations which advertise that they assist with obtaining these kinds of benefits. Please be sure of two things before accepting assistance. Number one, be sure whomever provides your assistance is accredited by the VA. And number two, you should never have to pay for assistance in obtaining your VA benefits. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there is never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
Good morning and welcome. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca sitting in today. I welcome you to my show about passion and inspiration. The focus of my show is seeking those who hold and live passionate, convincing lives. These guests have demonstrated that they live for a cause and hold a steadfast, compelling sense of purpose. In many cases, purposes are driven quietly, subtly, and unseen, but yet cause significant impact to others and society as a whole. This is what my show is all about. If you would like to learn how to switch out a Ritalin from your drug cabinet and exchange it with a jump rope, and have a more healthy, endearing, studious child, then you do not want to miss today's guest. In fact, if you know of a parent whose children are on Ritalin, call them and have them sign on at www.kcnr1460.com. And today, Matt Diskin, I welcome you to my show. Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine. Matt, could you give us a an overview of your professional what you do?
I'm a teacher, first and foremost. I'm a coach and instructor at the college.
You have a litany of achievements and accomplishments that I think would probably take a whole half hour just in itself to review. You have a very impressive cadre of experiences in the exercise and nutrition area. And how long have you been coaching football at Shasta College?
Oh, I've been at Shasta College for 21 years this year. And before that, I was at East L.A. College and couple of years of high school, Franklin High School in Los Angeles, and McKinleyville High School in McKinleyville, Northern California.
And I see that you also do special education.
Yes.
And you work with a local school or schools in this area?
Yes, I work in the Gateway Unified School District, Grand Oaks Elementary School. And before that, I was at Buckeye Elementary, which is now Buckeye School of the Arts. And I've worked at all of our schools in that district, and as well as Evergreen School in Cottonwood and Los Angeles Unified School District.
Is this principally all with special education children?
For the most part, yes. I have taught single subject and as well as physical education. And, mm-hmm. and right now my my current assignment is a special day class, which is a self-contained environment with four children of exceptional needs.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as I teach physical education and in the mainstream. And I do a lot of before and after school stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, Matt, you've been in writing for how long?
21 years this August.
And you came from, don't tell me, Southern California.
Absolutely. I have nothing to hide.
So you were, what brought you to North State?
I went to school at Humboldt State and met my wife there and began my career in Southern California under an opportunity, a scholarship program to work in the inner city schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed when we got married I'd try to return to Northern California eventually, and eventually came in 1990. We were married in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought me to Cottonwood, and then eventually up into the Shasta Lake area.
So the warmer weather is meets things satisfactorily for you.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I like the heat.
And you have two children?
I do.
And your parents were from Ireland? Is that correct?
No, my grandparents.
Grandparents were
yeah.
from Ireland. Huh?
Yeah.
So you're an Irish boy.
I am.
Are you still you pledge allegiance to Guinness?
No. I have once or twice.
And your sons currently they're in the area living at home with you?
Yes, my oldest boy Sam is a sophomore at Shasta College, and my boy Bill attends Floyd Hill High School, where he's mm-hmm. going to be a junior next year.
You know, your qualifications are pretty extensive, and I think before we jump into your credentials, your background, I think we're going to take a break so that we'd be able to complete that segment in its entirety. Again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
From time to time, we take solemn oaths to make positive changes in our lives. We call them resolutions. Many resolutions require great personal sacrifice. To lose weight, to get in shape, to be friendlier to your in-laws. This time, make a resolution where success is guaranteed. Improve your dental health. It requires no sacrifice, just a phone call to Palisadro Dentistry at 547-5757. Even after years of dental neglect, Dr. William Farrell and his able staff will employ cutting-edge techniques gained over 30 years of professional experience to restore that youthful, charming smile. Anxiety is no longer an impediment to dental health. Palisadro Dentistry specializes in overcoming dentist dread with sedation dentistry. For worry-free dental care, call Palisadro Dentistry today at 547-5757 or visit palisadrodentistry.com. And who knows, with an improved smile, maybe your in-laws will like you better. Special consideration to veterans. Financing available. OAC.
I'm Dr. Cattywampus. Welcome to Cat Chat. At Haven Humane Society, cats count. With me is cats' rights advocate, Timothy Olitter, on the topic of cats.
I want cats to question their humans. Dogs drool, cats rule.
Hear, hear.
We cats, we know who we are and feel comfortable in our own fur. And we would never hold fundraising events like dogs do.
Are you saying cats are aloof?
I'm saying cats make great companions, too.
Cats count. Visit Haven Humane Society from 11 to 5, Monday through Saturday.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the
money. Welcome back. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy. And I'm Henry Cuenca, sitting in here today with Matt Diskin, an instructor at Shasta College, along with some other very inspirational activities. Matt, tell us about your educational background.
Out of high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I chose to go to a junior college. One of the better moves I've made, it was funny, I went to real strict all-boys Catholic high school, and my freshman year was out of the way by the time I graduated, but I wanted to continue playing football, and the major universities just didn't come knocking, and reality hit me, so I attended East Los Angeles College, one of the best moves I ever made. And,
really?
Yes. And, it was a bit of a culture shock. And I didn't go to school to learn. I went to school to play football.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I was finished, and I was always a good student and whatnot, I wanted to keep involved in sports. And so I wanted to become a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make it in coaching, you have to go into education. So then I went into teaching. I didn't know what I wanted to teach. And, I started substitute teaching. And my original was to be phys ed and or social studies. At the time, there was just no jobs. And I subbed in Los Angeles Unified. Some interesting assignments there. And one day at Franklin High School, I took a special education class. An assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And at 2 o'clock or so, the principal came by and he asked me if I wanted the job permanently. And I wasn't qualified. He said, well, we can't get anybody to fill this job and you're doing a good job. That was the beginning. And
so that wasn't planned. It just happened.
Serendipity.
Right.
And I liked it. I guess I kind of had a knack, I thought, and so that's what I pursued. And from there, I went back to school and got credentials and
picked up a master's degree at the same time.
Yeah, my first master's was from Pepperdine University in education, emphasis in special ed, and along that with credentials, multiple subject and specialist credentials and whatnot, and then I went back to school again, went back to Humboldt after moving up here, and finished a master's in kinesiology.
Can you explain that, what that is?
Kinesiology is the study of movement. It's it's along the lines of physical education, physical activity, with more of an emphasis on assessment
mm-hmm.
rather than application. For example, in the adapted world where I work, whether it's adapted physical education or modification of any kind of movement due to whatever reason. It's the steps, it's the study, it's what's right, what's wrong, how do we fix or how do we modify. Kinesiology is an area where we study movement, and often it really becomes the lack of or the modification to a movement to make better able-bodied.
Was that the prelude... I know you had real dramatic effect on special needs kids and children and in exercise. And was this the prelude to the activity that you find so successful right now with working with special needs children?
Yeah. Yeah. Personal experience. I was that kid. I was a very active child you know, I always felt better.
when you played hard, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, favorite, we do.
My favorite subject was recess. And,
I've heard that before.
And it was. And PE. And in my school environment, we had a great sports program. But we got PE one day a week. It was on Friday. And I remember that.
This was at the Catholic school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my two favorite subjects were PE and art. And they were on Friday, right after lunch. And I really liked physical education. And I was advised not to because you wouldn't get a job.
This something that was promoted within your family? Sports?
Absolutely.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we all played. My father and mother were athletes. My dad played college football, and you know, my brothers and sisters, we all played sports. You know, from little league up in high school.
Did you ever think of playing professional? I mean, you have a
every day.
That was you have my a dream. Pretty good physical.
Not even close to what it takes, but yes, that was always my dream. You know, and that's I just wasn't in that 1%. And I played as long as my body would take me, and unfortunately, I suffered some pretty extensive injuries in college football.
Yeah, you broke your neck, in fact, right?
I did.
Yep.
And have had both my shoulders replaced.
Really?
Yep.
So you're semi.
Yeah. But my knees are good.
So. Good for you. I understand you teach swimming as well. You teach young mm-hmm. children, 6 months and, and 12 years of age.
Oh, even older than that.
Do you?
Yeah, I've had people pass the century mark. You know,
well, that's a wonderful, gratifying situation to see a 6 month old. I'm sure
it is.
Yeah, right. I know that you took on some a real challenge in Los Angeles with some incorrigible groups of. I hesitate to say juvenile delinquents, but they were a group of incorrigible kids.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yep.
They were. I thought opportunity.
Uh huh.
I've had juvenile committers of homicide, and I had children that were in the. They had committed crimes that would have them retried as they became adults.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to educate and.
How did all this come about that you got this assignment?
I was offered it back when we had a short of teachers. You know, there were classes or jobs that were left unfilled.
Is that because nobody wanted to take these?
Partly, yeah. Partly, sure. And but what a great training ground it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was positive. It was. You know, some of the best training I ever received was kind of like the way I teach is the best lessons are often outside of the classroom. Mm-hmm. I was never a 2x4x6 learner, meaning, two sides of a book, four walls, 6 hours a day. I learned better, like I always say, in my dad's garage mm-hmm. with my brothers, taking things apart, stuff like that. And that's the kind of, method, if you will, I brought to my teaching.
Now, with this hardcore inner-city group, did you have a template to work from, or was this something you just flew by the seat of your pants? I mean, this would not be a – it's kind of be an intimidating situation.
A little bit of both, if you will. There were strict parameters set, but from that that being said, I had the opportunity to really apply some of my theories.
Yep. Matt, we're going to take a break right now, but we want to come right back to that after the break. Again, this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
One, two, three, here we go.
Linda Blatt. Melinda Bott. Join me this Saturday, July 16th at 1 p.m. in front of Macy's at the Mount Shasta Mall. We'll have Devon's Jewelers, a fabulous makeover from Macy's. And let's learn about what is hot for summer cocktails. That's 1 o'clock this Saturday, July 16th. It's On the Spot with Linda Bott at the Mount Shasta Mall. I'll see you there.
Folks, I'm Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop. It's no wonder that Mount Shasta Springwater is the preferred choice here in Northern California and Southern Oregon. It's natural, it tastes good, and it's healthy for you. If you are not drinking Mount Shasta Springwater, you owe it to yourself to give it a try. Give us a call at 1-800-922-6227 and start enjoying the refreshing taste of Mount Shasta Springwater today. When you call, tell them you want the Bob the Drop special. Mount Shasta Springwater, naturally the best.
Slow down. Too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestone.
Welcome back to Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy. And I'm Henry Cuenca interviewing Matt Diskin today. And Matt, you were about to tell us about the experience that you had in with these 12 incorrigible kids that that you had in Los Angeles. And you had some pretty dramatic results with these kids in using a kind of a testing site of using exercise for kids to learn.
Yeah, it really started in LA Unified. Trial and error. I brought an intramural program, sports. I'd work with them after school. You can't lie to kids. Kids know.
But everybody had pretty much given up on these kids, have they not?
Sure. But
you were the last hope.
That's been the consistent theme with most of my students. The children on a IEP, individualized education program, the system is very thorough. I mean, knock it if you will, but we are very thorough before we label a child. They've been tested, they've been measured, they've tried everything before we label. Mm-hmm. And often, by the time they're placed in a program like mine, there's been some walls set up. And I guess if I had a feel for it, I knew I had to go outside the box because these kids had already failed at everything. So why reintroduce them?
So what did it?
Well, what did it was I believe I owe them an opportunity to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And, by any means, and then lead them back to where they failed. As it were, I believe that often we look at the medium as the message, but when the medium is the massage, they learn. I feel they learn better, and what I mean by that is, I won't hold a treat against a kid. Give them the treat now, and we'll write and read about it later,
mm-hmm.
rather than the course of approach. The real success, the kids in L.A. were just the beginning, and then when I carried it up here, when the real movement began, that was all trial and error down there and the cultural barriers and whatnot. And again, I had a great experience down there. It's not like I left or on a flight of any kind.
What was the final outcome with these 12 kids?
With the kids in the opportunity program, some have had, I kept in touch for a while. Some had some successful endings, some not so successful. I did have to go back a couple times and testify,
mm-hmm.
against students that had, they thought would be able to reintegrate, but went right back to the gang lifestyle, and unfortunately there was one of them was murdered, and a couple of them got life sentences, and it's sad, but at the same
time, so your success rate was not 100%.
No, sir.
Yep.
And yet, by that rationale, no, but even if you helped one kid from that,
that's all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you made a presentation to Bill Clinton, President Clinton.
I did.
And tell us about that. That's pretty inspiring.
Well, he and Arnold Schwarzenegger, our former governor and former president, I was invited to, based on what I had done up here, to attend the California Endowment. They invited 200 guests, and I was fortunate to be one of them based on what we had done in the Gateway School District.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
The same formula, more refined. I'd gone back to school, and I knew movement was the key to these kids because there's the three avenues to learning, you know, auditory, visual, and kinesthetic. The one avenue that we don't pay enough attention to is the kinesthetic, and yet the purest way to learn is through play. I mean, that's your beginning steps for all.
And that's kind of how you start your day with the students, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Walking around the schoolyard.
Oh, we run. We move.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, that's one of the only times they stand still. Once we get the heart rate up, there's a release, an endorphin release, what I call the threshold. Yeah, epinephrine, dopamine, acetylcholine, dopamine. This has a calming effect. And you mentioned earlier Ritalin, and there's all kinds. There's a plethora of drugs that we give kids that cause that. Yet it takes place naturally through movement.
Is it possible, bottom line, is it possible to stop the prescription of Ritalin through exercise?
I don't think 100%, but I think. Movement is often an avenue that is unexplored when we think we've exhausted every avenue. I don't think we pay nearly enough attention to the power of physical activity.
Mm. Well, look at our society, the obesity rate, you know, mm-hmm. the U.S. population. I know the NFL did a study on movement and I know that you know about this study, mm-hmm. right? Could you tell us about that?
In 2005, the NFL actually did a real broad study on physical activity. You might see the NFL play 60 commercials with children, and the number of the 2,000 reps, and something that we really need to pay attention to in any movement when we introduce it, before it becomes second nature, it takes 2,000 reps to build that neurotransmitter in the brain. Some people refer to that as muscle memory. Yet we're quick to, you know, if a kid doesn't hit the ball in the first three pitches, he's not good enough.
Right.
That's my approach. The movements that we do, elaborate as they are choreographed over 181 school days. And you'd be surprised on day one how these kids are huffing and puffing and dying. And yet in June, they're running full speed up and down the hill like it was nothing.
That's pretty impressive, like joining the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
I know that the result of your workings with this physical activity is twice the average of most schools in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Are you talking about the physical?
Yes.
Not just the physical, but our academic scores. And it's not just me. I work with some pretty good teachers up there. And we've embraced an avenue here that has really helped our kids. And not only, I mean, we're tough on them academically, but we also make sure that they're fit and that they eat right and they get that needed activity in, you know.
Absolutely necessary, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, when we were kids, we played.
Absolutely.
But they don't.
Right.
You know?
Matt, if you were to sum up, you know, all these years of teaching and what you know and the wonderful experiences that you've had, you know, how would you sum up what is really needed in today's classroom?
A balanced approach. We're moving to really a touch information society, a touch technology. There's a major shift going on, and it can only be reinforced and enhanced through movement. I mean, Dr. Rady from Harvard said it the best, exercise is a miracle growth of the brain.
So, Matt, I know that you've just had just wonderful experiences and your speaking engagements throughout the country, and talking about healthy and activity and exercise. And I want to thank you very much, you
thank
know,
you.
For coming in and sharing your experiences with us. And We may have you back at a future show because I know that we have a lot of information that we didn't touch on.
Sure.
So we'll be right back with our new guests. Again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
To KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.